might be headed to the promised land
of speaking the truth
and finding
our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
But their children were saved, and their children's children. Generations were saved by one decision, one person. But changing the world can happen anywhere, and anyone can do it. So what starts here can indeed change the world. But the question is, what will the world look like after you change it?
Welcome to Public Access America.
Make a stand. I know I did. Thank you very much, and may God bless America. May God bless America. May God bless
America. Right. Hi, Devi.
Hello. Long time no see.
Thank you for being here, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
I didn't necessarily want to do a whole hour on this, but I have enough information that I could.
Yeah.
So, as you know, four brave amateur athletes testified about Larry Nassar's actions. And, you know, it's been 6 years in the waiting. It's been a cover-up for 16 months, and they finally got their say.
Yeah.
And I asked you to watch it because, well, you're a parent. You're a parent, you know, and you have this great human perspective where nobody else I know does. So I really wanted to talk to you because I didn't want it to be a political conversation. So I asked you to watch, I asked you to kind of watch like their testimony, and I just wanted to get your overall take on it.
Well, the first thing, you know, like I knew a little bit about what was going on. I'd heard about it. Didn't realize how much of a like conspiracy it was, essentially.
Right.
The cover up, the changing of information, the lack of action, it is reminiscent of the whole Epstein situation, where the FBI knew what he was doing and didn't do anything about it.
Right.
So to say that I was unsurprised, I think is unnecessary.
Right. I'm surprised about the pervasiveness of this out in the open. When you think about Cosby and Weinstein and Epstein and Nassar, these people are doing it right there out in the open.
Yeah.
And it's not political, and it's gross, but it's being covered up. And I think it's because, honestly, people don't want to talk about this.
No.
They hate it. They're uncomfortable with it. But if we ignore it, it gives these people the space to do it. And so people told me this was a dark topic to cover. This was a heavy topic that I shouldn't address.
Why
pedophilia, child sexual abuse. And
why
I don't want to cover that.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
Imagine how so that's why how I, the that's survivors why I had feel. To.
When I saw them testify, I had tears in my eyes. I thought to myself, as difficult as that was for them, it would be so much easier for me to devote 1 hour to it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
People should know about this, and they should know the warning signs, and they should know that there's help on both sides.
Right.
Like the way I feel about it is if we want to eliminate it as early as possible, we work with the pedophile himself, whether he's active or inactive, he needs to seek help.
Right.
And so I have a note there for that. Mm-hmm. But for children, I think to myself, your parents love you and they trump anything that any pedophile can say to you. Mm-hmm. You can talk to your parents about anything. But then I thought to myself,
you can.
What about those kids that can't?
But you can. And that's the thing is like, it's the reason that people get away with it for so long is because it's embarrassing and scary and shameful and kind of, it's just horrible. Like there's nothing that you can really
but
say.
The thing like, is it's horrible and shameful and embarrassing for the perpetrator, not for the victim.
Yeah.
And we have to let the victims get past that embarrassment, you know?
Well, the reason that it's so embarrassing and feels shameful for somebody who's been abused is because we have this antiquated idea of what like sexuality looks like and what like a woman's value is in our society. And a lot of that value is based off of this ridiculous idea of virginity and purity and wholesomeness and yeah. and once you've been abused, you lose that, and you internalize that, like you feel mm-hmm. as if you are no longer allowed access to the joy and the comforts of being, you know, a happy adult, because like who yeah. would want you, because we've made this whole virginity thing, which is a social construct. Like it's ridiculous. So, like the value of having had sexual interactions with somebody, like being the only value of women.
Right. Once that's mm-hmm. happened, you're second yeah. tier.
Well, and on yeah. top of that, like, you know, like these girls, these now women are idolized. They're like people obsess over them and their amazing abilities and all of that stuff, you know. Like I don't remember which senator said it, but a lot of them were like starstruck and like talking about how courageous these girls are and how wonderful it is and how brave and how, you know, thank yeah. you so much for stepping forward and doing this. And they're like, we have already right. done that. We're asking for accountability. I was right. finding myself just filled with rage when like senator after senator after senator was like, oh, thank yeah. you so much for your courage and coming uh-huh. forward. They're like, and I'm sitting there like yelling at my phone going, they already did that. They already yep. did that. This is not what this yep. is about. Like, stop. You're infantilizing these people. This is not what yes. their point is. And they kept right. asking them the same questions. What do you want? What does accountability look like?
Mm-hmm.
Accountability. It looks like put these people in jail for not having done their jobs, for allowing multiple hundreds of people to continue to be molested. Like I was angry. Right. And I feel like Cory Booker was one of the only ones that he was like, okay, I'm going to address. Yes. Thank you for your courage. But like, right. we are allowing you to continue to be abused. We are creating this system. We are participating mm-hmm. in this system. And how do we not participate in that anymore? And I think that him asking that question and him putting that forward was one of the more poignant moments during those, you know, obviously. And then Miss Reisman, I'm terrible with names, mm-hmm. Responded.
The gymnast.
Yeah. So she responded and talked about how the abuse affects you and how PTSD from it affects you.
Physically.
Yeah. Physically. And like that was when I lost it. That's when I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's so relatable. Like as somebody yeah. who's been through that and right. didn't feel like you had any ground to stand on to like say anything because, oh, this person is, you know, like they're on the basketball team at the college or, mm-hmm. you know, they have a position of power over you and who the hell would believe you? And you internalize all this pain and suffering and, you know, like that, you know, yeah. Cory Booker talks about how it was a systemic problem and it's a power problem.
It's a power problem.
Bottom line is it comes down to a system of power. And Ms. Reisman immediately addressed how that power affects the powerless. And the yeah. direct response to your systemic issue of not addressing these things and undervaluing women in general on a daily basis has created the effects. You're tired. You're physically not capable of like focus and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, these are highly focused women. They have to do these things to, you know, continue right. with their, basically their career. You know, it starts out as a fun thing and then it, you know, they get pushed into injuring themselves. And then, you know, of course, Simone Biles yeah. finally stepped forward and said, enough is enough. I can't do it right now. Like I am right. not mentally or physically in the place to be able to perform. And like,
but to find out that that's because of the PTSD mm-hmm. she had been going through because of this guy,
of course,
and being in the same places and without her support system, yeah, without her mm-hmm. family there.
Yes.
Just to shove her in like she was a product. It's so.
Well, they are. So they're no longer people. Once you get to that level, you know, like
right.
they talk about amateur sports, but that's it's professional. They're professional sports players.
Yeah, and we dehumanize them.
Absolutely. And these, because they're women, you know, they're
and yes.
made to do the pretty thing and do the cool thing and look really strong and go America. Right. And it's just ridiculous because we're using them up in every way, right?
We're devaluing mm-hmm. them until they learn to do it on their own.
Yeah,
well, that's why we're training women.
You're training them like dogs.
Yeah, I was watching on a side note, somebody was talking Hysteria was talking about princess culture and how if you're not if you're not the white princess, you're untouchable if you're the white princess. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Disney began to make ethnically diverse princesses, yeah. the princess no longer deserved love. Mm. And I thought that was just so fascinating mm-hmm. to me. Like, and this is the subculture that women are learning from,
yeah.
right? That you have to be the princess. Mm-hmm. And once you have once a man does something to you inappropriate like that, whether it's consensual or not, mm-hmm. you're a waste.
Yeah.
And that's not it.
Yeah.
Do you think these girls did anything to destigmatize that?
Oh, absolutely. And look how strong they are. I mean, these are people so already strong. that we admire for their strength. And then to stand in front of people of power and say, no, that's not enough.
Right.
That's not enough. I am still value. I am still enough. I am enough. I don't.
They are.
that I think is so powerful. You know, like you don't get to devalue me.
Right.
This does not devalue me. And I will not give in. I don't care what your system of power is. I don't care that this person has gone to prison. What about the people who allowed him to continue doing this? And that I think
gross.
Is the best part, is that they're saying, no, that's not enough.
Right.
That well,
we
not
want
justice.
It to stop.
Exactly.
And we want it to stop immediately in the mm-hmm. future.
Yes.
You know, that was the best thing to me was that they said they wanted an independent panel to look into these things that wasn't paid by the people they were looking into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that made sense to me.
Yeah.
We want accountability immediately.
Yeah.
This guy affected 100 little girls past the point of being reported.
Mm-hmm.
For 16 months, he was free.
Yeah.
That's
after he's been they doing knew, it since after 1996. Multiple people had already come forward. Multiple people.
Right.
That man should have been immediately arrested.
Immediately
arrested and questioned. Like, and they could have prevented it. And because it was just a bunch of silly little girls.
Right.
And
would it have been so expensive to put an assistant with him after the allegation?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
a supervisory role in some way to monitor him.
Well, that's part of the problem, is that in all cases in my life, when I've had a male doctor do any sort of physical, there has to uh-huh. be somebody else in the room, and it has to be a woman. And the fact that he didn't have that,
it's gross.
Well, it's criminal. Like that's another aspect that is like, this man shouldn't have been practicing medicine at all.
At the base level.
Yeah. But we trust doctors, right? He couldn't possibly be doing anything wrong.
Right.
And
in the chaos of understaffing, of course, mm-hmm. you know, it just happened. It isn't our fault.
Right.
We'll address it. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
You're not looking to address it. You're looking to hire the FBI agent that was investigating it. Right.
Right.
Like that's the cover up. That's
right.
a cover up.
Well, and
that sucks.
Yeah, they're looking to hire that person who lost his job, and like, it's all convoluted. Now I want to know, and I think that, you know, after watching that, and I have the same questions that they did. Like, why? What was the reason that this got pushed under the rug? I want to know why there was a conspiracy. Just like with Epstein, why was there a conspiracy? Why did they hide that? Money,
right?
Fame, fortune, somebody get paid off, somebody get offered something. Like there shouldn't be the ability to have things be covered up like that.
Uh-uh.
And from the FBI, the people that like we look up to as like, oh, these are the people that protect us.
Right.
And the FBI director, you know, later addressed the same.
I don't give him credit for apologizing.
No, I don't. Absolutely not. No. Sorry doesn't go anywhere. Like he wasn't the director at the time. Like nobody wants your apology. Yeah. They want action. And yeah, he's doing, you know, the right things, but like what's going to happen to the person that like just retired, got to retire? Well, we can't do much after they retired. No, you can. They should be going to prison, like for conspiracy to cover up crime, like period.
Yeah. It started, the investigation started in 2015. Mm-hmm. Larry Nassar started in 1996. Yeah. The investigation started in 2015, mm-hmm. which was Obama, but then it bled into Trump.
Right.
And now we're getting accountability under Biden. Like, we're getting in open testimony a request for.
Right. I'm hesitant to blame it on a presidency. I'm hesitant to look at it in a bipartisan way. I'm
good.
You know, like, because like you can't look at it and be like, well, it was under Obama, so it's Obama's fault. It's like, no.
No, I'm just trying to say it was under both. It was absolutely under both, so nobody's a winner there.
No, right. And like since 1996, that was also like what?
Clinton, Bush.
So it was happening under multiple people, and I don't think that they're the ones that are necessarily responsible. And you know, and that's the thing is like, if you were like, well, the president should have done something. I mean,
no.
The value of women is so Nassar. Exactly. And Larry Nassar and the FBI agents who swept it under the rug and like changed their statements and at question
changed her statements, changed the girl's statements
and questioned whether or not it was really that bad.
Right. Like, cause they didn't want to put in the work. They didn't want to do the work. He wanted a new job.
No, you want to diminish, you want to diminish it because like, that's literally the female experience is going to the doctor and having them be like, oh, is it really that bad? Are you sure you don't have to go potty? Are you on your period? You diminish it because like women's pain is not valuable. The value of the female experience with pain is the most like grossly underrated thing that I've ever experienced. Like when I went to the hospital, you know, I've been there. I went to the hospital to get my appendix removed and they're like, well, are you sure it's not cramps? I'm like, yeah, I am. Why would I be here for cramps? I'm 30 years old. Yeah. Like,
and you're a white privileged woman.
Yeah.
To some extent, outwardly appearing
white. So, woman appearing privilege. Exactly.
So, I will say, the amount of discredibility in pain when it comes to women is substantially lowered when it comes to your minority.
Absolutely,
your race.
Absolutely,
and that's disgusting too. And but for all women to think that even the white privileged outwardly appearing woman is getting diminished too.
Absolutely. You know? Well, and it happens all the time. Like I can't even imagine like any more intersections of like race and socioeconomic status. You know, I was I was poor and you know, I'm queer and I am straightforward and blunt and like, I don't accept no, but some people do. I can't imagine not having the strength to be like, fuck you, do this.
That's what kills me. You don't think she thought about it for an hour before she went in there and then you dismissed her?
Yeah.
Like you don't think any woman went in and had hours of thought there?
Yeah.
I'm with them at home. They're not going. They don't want to go because they're discrediting it before they go to the hospital. So if they're going to the hospital, believe them.
Right. Well, and that's just part of the problem is like, nobody believes women when they speak.
Right.
Nobody believes them. Why do you think it took so long for people to come forward? Because they go through this. They go through this process of like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You're so brave. Right. And oh, can you repeat again what it is that you want? Because I didn't listen the first time. Like, fuck off.
Or the FBI agent that said, are you sure it's as bad as you're saying it is?
Exactly.
Wow, that put a question in her head that haunted her to this day.
Oh, and it will.
Right?
Am I just being a complainer? Like,
am I overreacting?
Yeah. Am I doing something? Yeah. Am I doing something wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Right. Nothing. You did nothing.
And that's gaslight culture.
Absolutely.
And man, it's so weird. Like, we get women to diminish themselves, and then when they do it, we're like, see?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we train women and gaslight women into believing that they are not worth the time it takes to say something.
Right.
And then we're like surprised Pikachu face when they don't say anything.
Right.
You're literally training people to do this, like from birth, you know, like little right. kids in a pink dress are told, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so pretty, like, and what their value is their beauty and their purity and their sweetness. And we tell little kids in pants and a t-shirt, oh, you're so strong and fast, look at you go, you know,
right.
And look, congratulations, like watch you like do that cool thing, whereas like you're giving power to little kids in pants versus little kids in dresses. You're diminishing their value already from the very instant that they're born.
You're putting them in a box that you thought, because you're in a box and you want people to do the same thing you did. You don't want people to have a better life than you,
because
you
know? Because people are so convinced that like boys and girls are so different. Bullshit. Like, I don't want people to tell me I'm pretty all the time. What is it about me that you value as a human being besides my beauty? Because as soon as I hit 30 and gain some weight and stop wearing makeup all the time, I'm no longer useful to people.
Right.
I'm no longer useful, you know? Or
you have to redesign your usefulness.
Well, and you have to work even harder for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to age in a female body because as soon as you're not hot anymore, people don't want to go to you for things, even though you're valuable for something, right? Like I know I'm a barber, right? I hear it all the time. Oh, well, I kept going to that person because I thought they were hot. And I'm like, what? Did you like your haircut? Like, you know,
that's exactly
what the hell? Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
my roommate's daughter said her coworker that he knows was going to start working at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I got to go and see her. You want to go? And I was like, why would I want to go? I don't know her. Well, she's hot. But I need more than that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you've dated 24-year-olds before. You should want to go see her. No, I've dated 24-year-olds of substance for the conversation, not for their.
And if you want to advertise yourself as just being hot, that's great. Like, good for you, girl. Get it. But right.
Get your money while you can. Yeah, I agree with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like, that's not all you're valued for.
Right. Don't do it because you think you have to.
Right.
Because that's the box.
Deprogram yourself. For the love of God, deprogram yourself to stop thinking that the only thing valuable about a woman is hotness. And then you wonder why you call her, you're like, oh, okay, bitch. Like when she doesn't want to be around you anymore or you.
Right.
Like,
because men have this possession complex. We think we own all that we see.
Right.
And so
well, that's
when
my girlfriend,
says,
right? No.
Right. Or that's mine.
Right.
Look at that girl across the room. I'm going to ask her out and she's going to have to deal with that because it's my place to do it.
Right.
It's my right. It's my right to go and irritate that woman.
It doesn't matter if it makes her uncomfortable. Catcalling.
Right.
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 It's not about making a girl feel pretty. It's about you intimidating somebody. And the intimidation factor will only go away when men call each other out on it. Like, we don't fucking do that, bro. Like, don't do that.
Right.
You know? And it's like Cory Booker said, it's systemic. And this whole thing could have been prevented if women were taught from a young age to be strong and to immediately step forward when something felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because like, they're like, well, is it really rape? Like, if somebody didn't put their penis in me, Yeah, yes. It is. Yeah, it fucking yes. is. Is it really a sexual assault if they just touched my butt? Yeah, it is.
Yes. Yes.
And you should be immediately able to call somebody out on that. And there should be yeah. immediate action taken.
And if you don't have the right to immediately leave that situation when you're uncomfortable, mm-hmm. then that's an issue.
Absolutely.
You know, that's trapping somebody.
Yeah.
I always, as long as we're talking about it, don't hit on women that are at work. They have to be nice
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, they're you being nice mean? To you because they have to.
Yeah. So if we're, you know, helping men out, mm-hmm. please don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't hit on your barber. Don't hit on your grocery store clerk. Don't hit on your bartender. Like,
right.
We like, I'm not going to say that I don't
Especially
sometimes flirt with people
tits,
because
right?
I actually like them. Right?
Right.
Like there's been moments where I've had flirtations with people.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of people through work, but like, I'm not flirting with you unless I've known you for a very long time. I'm not flirting
right.
with you. I'm not
it's
flirting with you.
Nice
I'm being polite
to
you. Well, right. and it not even for tips, right?
Yes.
Like, because I'm a genuinely nice person, right? Absolutely.
Right.
And
That's
it's
weird
when I'm just a nice person and you're going to take that and you're going to like sexualize it. What? Sexualizing
yes.
my nicety? Why?
That's the only.
What do you want me to be a bitch
we have
to
put it in. No, because then you won't get a tip.
Exactly, and
so you either have
get
to
put
be
on
sexual
blast.
To me,
right?
Right.
And like, I hate tip culture. I hate tip culture. I wish that it didn't exist. Tips are
me
there
too.
To like make up for the fact that you're not getting paid what you deserve, you know. And people are really
tips
hesitant to like pay a lot of money for a haircut, but then they'll tip like 20%, 40%. Sometimes 100%.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
depending on how nice you are and how good of a day they're having and
that's right.
what you did for them. And it's like,
and how good your boobs look.
Yeah. Right. No, mm-hmm. it's interestingly enough, like if working in this industry with a gender studies degree, I
right.
have noticed like the more makeup I wear, like pre COVID, if I wore like lipstick, I was more likely to get
uh-huh.
tips or product sales.
Yeah.
If I wore a sports bra versus like a push-up bra, everything was different. People interacted
mm-hmm.
with me different. The more
yeah.
masculine I present, the more cool people are with me, and we just have like regular conversations. But like the fact that I had to worry about like, do I walk beside this person or behind this person or in front of this person, how likely are they to be staring at my ass? And the answer
right.
is always yes, they are.
Like, it's just how long
exactly and
yeah.
like how fast do I walk away and then turn around
mm-hmm.
so I can like feel comfortable
yeah.
you know it's I just have to put it out of my mind, otherwise I would like freak out every day.
Yeah.
But like the older and fatter I get, the less people are like staring at me all the time, so using that to my advantage.
When a man looks a woman up and down, he's telling her what he values in what order.
Mm-hmm.
So if she sees you looking at her boobs first, she knows you're not serious.
Mm-hmm.
But if she catches you looking at her eyes or her face
yeah.
or following her expressions and listening to her,
mm-hmm.
then she knows you're a different kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And tip culture was created after slavery to pay Black people without paying
mm-hmm.
them.
Well, and like, it's used still.
You
to
decide
this day.
How much this Black person's service is worth.
Yeah.
And it just expanded into all cultures because white people were like, oh, we can subjugate white people.
Yeah.
Women,
we can
you know?
Pay them less than men because
yeah.
it's mostly like female dominated. Yeah. Female dominated industries tend to be more of a tip culture thing.
Yeah. Right.
Hairstyling, waitressing, bartending.
Uh-huh.
And, what I absolutely loathe is like, maybe it's that women don't quote unquote have the drive, or there's just so many of them. But like in my industry, there's more famous men hairstylists. So they
right.
get huge money and they're like, oh, you should charge like $1,000 for, you know, a service and all this stuff. And it's like, be realistic, bro. Like, you're a celebrity stylist. Like, you charge that because you have an overinflated idea of what your value is.
Right.
Especially like per, yeah. What does the market look like? Like, I can't charge $100 for a haircut in Olympia,
mm-hmm.
Washington.
Right.
I could maybe do that in Seattle. But it would be like an elite clientele. I would have to bend over backwards for these people. I could never fuck up. Like,
right,
there is exactly. no room for error when you're doing that. And people will put right. you on blast. But it's all
and
about
you,
value.
You still have to be that. You still have to be that superficial, sexualized mm-hmm. thing that they want.
Yeah.
Even if you met Britney Spears, mm-hmm. you would still have to schmooze her and do a good job and be sexually appealing for her to want you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I suppose there's also actors and actresses mm-hmm. that feel differently about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, for me and what I've tried to cultivate in my own clientele is like removal of power structure or like yes. a reversal of that power structure. So like big okay. tough guy comes in. I'm like, sup,
right.
I will mirror you, you know? And
yes.
I'm like, what you want, man? All right, cool. You know, I don't allow people to make me feel bad. And if they try, they don't get to see me anymore. And I've cultivated a clientele that like, fits the power structure that I have created. Like I have the power to be able to do this thing. I don't have to service you if I don't want to, period. And
that's right.
And you disrespect me or my time and you'll know about it. You know, I'm always very graceful and very kind and all that, you know, because that's what I am as a person. I care about people.
And you want to be you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to be fake and have a wall up just to make it convenient for somebody else.
But it just goes back to like, I'm aware of the power structures in the world. I'm aware of what's mm-hmm. going on. I am confident in my ability to navigate that, but not everybody is. And that's when things get dangerous, you know, that's when people get injured. That's when people get abused. And that's just devastating, you know.
It's hard as a disabled person. Mm-hmm. I totally understand the power structures out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a ride, but you have to go with me everywhere else. It's these little things that people try and grab. Give me your arm, you know. It's these little power grabs, and what they do is they start with something forceful,
mm-hmm.
but then they dial it back until it becomes acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that wants to control you does the same thing, mm-hmm. and so that initial step. When they're harsh to you, mm-hmm. be aware.
Yeah.
And when it happens again, don't let it happen the third time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You have to hold boundaries.
Right. And the other thing is, if somebody's worth training, train them.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at them. But if somebody's not worth training, don't get mad at them. Mm-hmm. Just don't train them.
Well,
like you said, people making you feel uncomfortable is their problem, not yours. Mm-hmm. It's their inability to be a human, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should be embarrassed about that.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
No,
well, absolutely I think that fear plays a big part, you know, and like, I think the biggest fear when you're in a situation like these girls were, is that you're alone. And abusers are.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Really good at making you feel like you're alone. Gaslighting and tiny. It starts out small with one little manipulation, mm-hmm. and then they see whether or not they can handle that, and like
right.
then they're like, okay, this person is, you slowly like questioning a little bit, and then you break them down a little bit, and then it just continues to happen over and over. It's like, you know, like, no, trust me, everything is going to be fine. You know, mm-hmm. it's narcissistic behavior. It's manipulation. It's a combination of things that like people are able to get away with it, including power. And it's yeah. just fucked.
That's first on the list, by the way.
Yeah.
And, the website I went to, and mm-hmm. there's going to be a note with all of this information, so I'm not covering it, but there mm-hmm. is a cycle, and in the cycle is keeping people quiet using your power over them. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I've got a gaslighting list here.
Gaslighting, telling somebody it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it so is not it's normal. Like, can a,
it's
can
a manipulation child ever tactic, consent? Right?
But can a child ever consent?
I mean,
to sexual activity.
Absolutely not. A child can't consent to sexual activity. That's just right. not okay.
And even if you convince yourself that they can, it's not right.
They can consent to a hug, or they can consent to a handshake. But they're not aware of the complexities, and they don't have any understanding of how that works. And particularly because we don't talk to kids about it very much. I've talked to my kids about their bodies and sex for a very long time, so they were fully mm-hmm. aware that like anything like that happened, they, you know, had to tell me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, please tell your parents.
Yeah.
If you need to tell somebody after that, mm-hmm. that's a different story, but tell your parents. And if you're a parent,
yeah.
please don't go off the handle.
No.
Like, just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at the other people. Don't make it a dramatic scene mm-hmm. when you're told.
Yeah.
Sit down and rationally process that, because the emotions are what scare a kid mm-hmm. because they don't have the executive critical experience yeah. to know how to handle every situation like you do. So mm-hmm. give them the space, make that space.
Yeah. You can be angry when they walk out the door, you know, like you can be angry
right.
as much as you need to, because what they're going to internalize is they're going to see that you got angry when they told you a thing that's bad.
Right.
And they won't tell you a thing anymore, because they think right. that you're angry at them, not at the situation, yes. not at what happened. They don't have the critical thinking skills to get to that point. They're like, oh, you're just angry at
right.
me. You're angry at me because I must have done something bad, and they'll never tell you a thing again.
Right.
You have
the easiest way to do this is to just be in your child's life.
Yeah.
More than in those critical moments. Mm-hmm. Be there. So that you know their routines and how they act. Mm-hmm. So when they act differently, you know something's different. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Just for the record, like exhibition mm-hmm. is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Fondling, intercourse, masturbating in front of a child. These are all really just not appropriate things, mm-hmm. right? Obscene phone calls, texts, yeah. or social conversations.
Yeah.
Those are inappropriate.
Sending somebody porn.
Right. Producing, owning, or distributing porn. Mm-hmm. That's not appropriate. No. Sex of any kind is not appropriate. Sexual trafficking, mm-hmm. sharing that individual is yeah. not appropriate. And I just want to get a baseline to let people know, no, don't, like, because I think it's important to let pedophiles know, if you have the thought, like if you find yourself considering doing these things, before you do it and ruin a child's mm-hmm. life for the rest of their life, get help and stop.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people with these mm-hmm. Tendencies that are seeking help. They're mm-hmm. non-abusive yeah. in our society.
The only issue is that it's a, if you tell a therapist that you have designs on thoughts about yeah. fantasies of harming another yeah. person in any way, they have to report yeah. you.
You go into a database.
And when, that's not helpful in a system that this is exactly the thing that these people need. So you can't sign right. somebody up on a database because they're like, I have these thoughts about, you know, anything, right? Mm-hmm. And expect them to come forward about something. Are you right. kidding? Like, you know, I recently tried out therapy for the first time, and she was like, well, well, not for the first time, but for the first time in a long time. And she was like, I just need you to know that, like, if you say that you have any, like, thoughts about harming anybody or yourself, I have to report you. And I was like, so, like, if I said I'm feeling suicidal ideation or something, you're going to report me for that? I can't talk to you about that. Like, I want to get better. I don't want to actually do that, but I want to talk to somebody about it. That's fucked up. Like, it's a system that works against people who are trying to seek help without actually going forward with an action. And we need to fix that in the United States. In Canada, they don't have that mandatory reporting.
In Germany, they have a whole industry based on collecting these people before they
Before
they act.
Because, like,
that's the early, that's how we get rid of it, is not by telling children to fight it, but by telling the people that are going to do it to stop.
Well, and that's,
and a lot of,
it's rape,
like,
culture.
A lot of these people,
it's rape culture.
But a lot of, the people doing this molesting are children themselves too, you know?
Well, they don't know.
Which is a weird, which a weird aspect. Yeah. They're just feeling their sexual oats and they're finding somebody. It's a weird,
it's really
weird
complicated and it's really uncomfortable to talk about, but you know, but as soon as you start developing your hormones, you hit puberty, you're still considered a child, but you're seeking, like, sexual situations in some cases.
Yeah.
Like, there's an appropriate outlet for that and there's an inappropriate outlet for that, and adults are not the appropriate outlet, and children younger than you are not the appropriate outlet. Masturbation's great. Do that.
Yep. Do that.
Avoid
Do that.
Avoid it for as long as you can. You know, like, just honestly, like, there's more value to you than having sex with somebody, and, like, you don't have to do that. You can do it, and, like, you know, you just have to be really careful. Talk to your parents. Jeez, Louise. Talk to your counselor. Talk to somebody about it. Like, good Lord. I know some people can't
normalize the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we live in a world where everybody talks about sex in terms of the birds and the bees because it's so embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Every parent is like, I don't want to have this conversation. You know, we have it constantly in movies and TV shows where it's so embarrassing. Oh my God, to talk about this with your parents. And I'm like, why? Because you're afraid that your child is going to have an appropriate sexual outlet, because that's what you're avoiding.
This is the next thing up, parent. This is what's on your plate next.
Yes.
You can't judge it away.
No.
If your child has these tendencies,
and they're going to be afraid to talk about it, and they're going to get abused. For fuck's sake, like, talk to
because
your children
will,
about this stuff.
Somebody will pretend to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you hear it all the time. Like, girls go missing because they met some guy on the internet and they run away together, and they get up, like, they're like 15 and this dude's like 35 or some shit. It's just like, talk to your kids. That's
talk
not appropriate.
Talk
to your kids about
your kids
what gaslighting is and what manipulation is and what kind of person preys on a child or a teenager. Because, like, there's technically a difference between, like, teens and, you know, prepubescent, right?
So preteens,
like, a pedophile is somebody who is into prepubescent kids. And then there's, like, a hebephile, which is, like, pubescent kids. So it's, like, basically, like, puberty to 18. And I think 18 is such an arbitrary number, because, like,
I know, I do too. Like, I think to myself, that's where we call 40-year-olds.
Right.
Because every 20-year-old woman I talk to says, why does every 40-year-old hit on me?
It's just gross.
It's like they're finally,
aged in. Now I can fuck you. Ew. So you were sexualizing them before that. Like,
we've been fantasizing them before that. And now it's like, remember the Mary-Kate and Ashley clock? Come on. You saw that girl as a little baby. You know what I mean? Like,
God, that's gross.
It's gross, but men are trained for sexuality.
They're trained for it. They're not wired for it, right? Like, they are taught that they need to conquer women. And the best way to do that is to, like, get laid. Yeah. But then they slut shame you if you're a girl and you're having lots of sex. And I'm like, who do you think that you're having sex with, bro?
Right.
You want to marry a virgin. It's the Madonna whore complex, right? You want to marry a virgin, but you want to fuck a whore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excuse you me, wanted but... it. It's like the Japanese porn where it's like this girl doesn't like it until all of a sudden she's super into it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. and if her pussy's tight, she's not into you.
Right. Yep. I think
she's not into it.
That was like a story, I don't know, probably from The Onion, that a Republican in Texas brought his wife to the hospital because her pussy was wet.
Oh, no, Ben Shapiro.
Is that what it was?
Ben Shapiro was like, it was when WAP came out, right? Like, wet ass pussy. Yeah. And he's like, that's not normal. You should see a doctor. I'm like, oh, it's very normal. It's very normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not for you. But I think I've been looking for some root causes of everything. And judgment is one of those things that it doesn't have anything that's causing it. Mm-hmm. It is a cause that.
Yeah.
We need to remove judgment, like the judgment fuse from our lives. Yeah. And we need to replace that with equality and in our life. But we can't do that because we all need to feel superior.
Yeah.
And when we don't feel superior, we find younger and younger people to seduce.
Well, it's
so they go, wow.
Right?
Inexperienced.
It's people who don't have enough experience to recognize the signs. You know, the older I get, the less easy it is for people to gaslight me, because I'm like, red flag. Red flag.
Yep. Immediate. Right?
And I'm like,
immediate.
I'm like, nah, you don't get to talk to me like that. And as soon as you put up a boundary with somebody who's an abuser, they will try to make you feel like garbage. They're like, oh, well, fuck you. You're a liar. They will project all of their bad shit onto you.
But that's the end. That's like the end of it. I mean, it's a long process to an end, but once they realize they can't manipulate you,
they're gone.
They're venting before they leave.
And they make it your fault.
Of course.
They try to.
Okay.
And I'm like,
thank you.
Okay, bye.
Right. The only two things that matter are that you were here being an asshole and that you're gone and I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
So whatever goes beyond that is just the drama of your life, not me.
Right. And toodaloo, motherfucker. Like, get out of here.
Right.
But not everybody is, especially young people. They want to be validated. They want to be like, they want to feel beautiful. They want to feel desirable.
They want to
get
through the moment.
And the fact of the matter is, like, they don't have the skills to be able to recognize those things. So teach your kids what manipulation is. Teach your kids what gaslighting is. Teach your kids how to recognize the signs of when somebody is trying to abuse them, because it's a grooming process. It is slow and it's tedious. But once it starts happening, it's so hard to get out of it, because your brain can't grasp that this person that like cares about me is abusing me. Because normally this kind of thing happens with people that you trust, you know, and you trust. It's not a stranger in the street. It's somebody that you know and you trust.
99% is family member or somebody that the family knows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's fucked up.
It's, you know,
I'm glad that
it doesn't have to be.
Well, and I'm glad that it's being addressed. Like, I'm upset that it shouldn't have gotten to that point. I'm upset that this all of a sudden, because it's such a big blow up thing, and the FBI and everybody fucking screwed everything up on purpose, that this is how we have to address it. Like, those systems should have been in place to protect those girls in a very like clean cut, like escalated type of way immediately. Period. They should have been there at the very beginning, because we already knew that it was a thing, but we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it, because like,
which
how
makes
uncomfortable
people unaware to it.
Yeah.
That's just it. I mean, somebody that listens to this is going to be aware, but
they're going
to
cringe.
The majority of the public is saying, I don't want to know the details of this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know that he put his fingers in Simone Biles' vagina.
Right.
They don't want to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
But that stuff is also what makes it marked in your brain to do something. This is now suddenly something that's going to be in a thread of my discussions, because if you want to know what the answer is to the world, it's the children are our future. And if we break them before they even hit puberty, what is the chances of our survival?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to protect them, and we need So we need pedophiles to protect them as well and say, you know what? This is an abnormal thing for what's going on. You don't want to hurt a child.
I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be this way. It's okay to admit that you're away and you don't want to be that way.
Yes.
You're wired differently and it's morally reprehensible and disgusting. But
as are other things.
Like, as long as you don't fucking do shit, you know, like just don't do it.
Right.
You're still a good person if you're not doing it. Like, you can get help. Like,
you can be the hero of this story.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. The pedophile that doesn't commit a crime can be the hero of this story. And it's a shame that they're not out there more. They don't have a space to be out there to say, look, we're not.
Yeah.
Because people judge them.
Right.
That just
like alcoholics have like groups that they can go to. You can go to Narcotics Anonymous, but we don't have that available for this, which we focus very strongly on, like making sure that people are okay. But I know so many people who are like, well, fucking kill them all. I'm like, but like, no. Because
and those are the same people that say, I believe in equality.
Right.
But do you believe in equality for the racist that doesn't harm another person, even though you find that morally reprehensible? No, you want them gone. Do you? And everybody, if everybody gets that, there's nobody left.
Yeah.
Right. If we all get to diminish and just extinct others that we want to, nobody's left.
Yeah.
Because atheists hate Catholics, Catholics hate Protestants, Black people hate white people, Muslims, you know,
it's a disorder. And we should be able to get help for all of the things that are disorders. And brains are real soft and real mushy and do really strange things. And some of them we don't understand. For the most part, we don't understand how the human body and the brain works. Like, we think we have it figured out, but we really just don't. And it's such an unpopular opinion, but like, those people deserve help just like everybody else. If they're like a rampant offender, like just like anybody else, murderer or whatever, like not everybody's wired to murder, but some people are, you know, and like, you gotta understand that like people deserve empathy and compassion. And like, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get like death threats for this, but you know, it's you know, like the fact of the matter is, like, we wouldn't have people who offend if we had resources.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We failed that community. We failed our community when we allow those things to happen because there were no resources there in the first place.
If you don't help the pedophile, you have to help the victim after the fact.
Yeah. And would you rather have a bunch of victims and no help to like prevent that?
Right. Then you're just covering it up.
Exactly. And that's the problem. It's systemic and it's systemic down to that point, because our hatred and our vitriol, we would rather have people get hurt and get revenge than we would fix the problem at the start.
Right. Like, in the end, this is all Larry Nassar's fault.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't seek help.
Well,
like, he didn't see it as abnormal.
It's our system's fault.
That too.
Our system failed to provide the help that he could have thought to be able to not do this. But he ultimately made the decision to do it anyway. So yeah, it's his fault, but it's also the system's fault.
And I'm sorry, Jerry Sandusky. I've been trying to figure him out for 3 days now. Like, who was the other guy? Mm. And Jim Jordan and his college sexual abuse coaches.
I remember that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so pervasive, and then it just goes away.
When people cover
it
up.
People are like, oh, people are like, oh, thank God it's gone away. The media isn't talking. This gymnast thing was a 4-second, 5-second in between story thing before they went to commercial break.
Right.
You know? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so
it's just a blip because does it really matter? Because it's women. Who cares?
Because women,
It's just some girls that got hurt and they'll be fine. They didn't die.
Right.
Why are you so upset?
I see tons of them in magazines. There's always another one right there.
Yeah.
There's always another woman to take their place, right?
Yeah, because we haven't fixed the problem.
Right. I think America would. I think they would fix the problem.
Yeah.
I think we have a hard time hyper-focusing the spotlight on something where the attention is meaningful.
Right.
So yeah, we can talk about stupid politics mm-hmm. that we can't possibly change, or we could like stare at homelessness until those 550,000 people were in homes, right?
Right. Yeah. No, but we don't do that. Like to, it, just like in our medicine, we like to address the symptom and not the cause.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, but we don't want to actually pay attention to it. And
yeah.
For the time mm-hmm. it takes to fix it. We just want to say, see, we saw it. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I'm over there.
Yeah. Put a Band-Aid on it. It's fine.
Right.
Walk it off.
You know, it's suicide for prevention, Mom.
Is it? Yeah. I don't ever pay attention to those things.
I didn't know either until today.
Until I see it on the internet. I'm like, oh, cool.
Right. And Hispanic Heritage Month goes through October 15th. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even give them a month. You got to split it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're really bad. We're really bad at fixing things. Right. We're really good at noticing there's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know.
Yeah. We're like, well, this has been a big problem for a long time. What are you going to do about it? Yeah. I don't know.
Right. It's a Simpsons thing. Yeah. I tried nothing and I'm all out of options.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think the third leg to this, and you're a parent, so I'll just say a parent needs to know their child above and beyond the time it takes in a crisis, mm-hmm. right? And a child needs to know that it's only uncomfortable until you get the words out, and then it's liberating.
It can be. I mean, in general,
the only issue is our system
diminishes like these women experience.
Yeah.
It diminishes and it questions, and you know, lawyers are very good at trying to poke holes in your story, and they will come at you
intimidate,
from every angle, and it's a very difficult process, and I'm not going to diminish that. It is a very difficult process, and you have to confront your rapist in court and see them in person and relive your trauma and be re-traumatized over and over and over again until
it's normalized.
Until you're completely broken and maybe you'll get justice. And that's, I think, what this is doing, is providing a better system to where people don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
They don't have to hear a room full of senators tell them how brave they are when that's not the relevant point here. They fucking know that. They fucking know that. You don't need to relive people telling you and like being like, oh, I'm so proud of you and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no fucking shit. Could we address the real problem, which is why we're here, which is we want systemic change going forward. We want to make sure that nobody else experiences what we experienced.
Right.
That's what we're trying to ask you for. Please stop asking the same fucking questions. Please stop telling me how wonderful it is that I'm from your goddamn state.
Yeah.
God, I wanted to strangle Ted Cruz when he was talking to them.
You're broken and so... Ted Cruz, by the way, is the reason that I went back in the episode and edited out everyone that didn't get an answer from the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz, I was like, you're gross. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve to be in this episode. So I got him out.
Yep.
And like Stefanik or whoever she was, because it was the same thing. Everybody going, you're so brave. And I was like, I cut 25 minutes out of that episode from just politicians
watching
blowing
that
smoke
made
up
me
their ass.
Sick.
Right.
I was like, shut up. Shut up. Are you going to ask them a fucking question? This is a hearing. This is not your time to, like, you know, be the platform guy and get good PR. Shut up.
Right. This is your time to subpoena those FBI agents and have them in the room and say, what happened?
Exactly.
Right. Like,
we want
them in front of those girls. Right. That's what they want. They don't want you to placate them with smoke up their ass.
Right?
They want actual tangible solutions.
God, I was like, watching that, I was just like getting more and more frustrated. You know, I was like, shut up. If you don't have a question, say, thank you for your statement. We appreciate your bravery. Move on. Don't make it a big, long fucking thing. Like, because you're uncomfortable having heard this, because this is your fucking fault. Like, this is directly your fault because you haven't put any systems in place to protect young children, to protect women. This system is broken. It's been broken for a long time. I mean, you have fucking Brent Kavanaugh or whatever. You literally went from that bullshit to being like, you're so brave. Shut up. Shut up.
Right.
Shut up. Like, I am so pissed about that. No, you're okay with having a fucking rapist president. You're okay with a fucking insurrection. Shut the fuck up, Ted Cruz. Like,
yeah.
Don't tell these women that they're brave. Grow a pair and fucking do something.
Oh. He even used his daughter. Well, I was going to Cancun for my daughter. No, you weren't. You were going to Cancun to get out of a snowstorm that crippled your state.
Yeah.
You weren't doing it because your daughter asked you to go.
No.
Like
you do not get to tell these women how proud you are for them being brave, because you, motherfucker, a piece of shit, garbage human who couldn't even stay in Texas and help your fucking constituents when they were dying in a snowstorm. You couldn't fucking man up, and I hate that term. You couldn't fucking grow.
You got it.
Ugh,
I'm
so angry. I can't even words right.
Well, you got to admit that manning up looks different than womaning up, right?
Oh,
or whatever
yeah.
the term would be. Like, manning up is head first, balls deep in something you have no idea about, and you just mansplain your way out until somebody else fixes it. Right? Whereas a woman will be like, thought, action.
Right? Like, the fact that he does not have any goddamn right to do that. You ran away. You're letting your state is dying from COVID because you're a piece of shit leader. You're not a leader. You're a figurehead. And you don't do anything to actually help protect people. You promote vitriol and hatred and division. Do not address those women who have way more fucking gall than you'll ever have. Oh,
exactly. And I can't wait till these women decide that they're going to run for office. What I mean? That's the solution to changing the process, is to get women that aren't used to the system, like the Nancy Pelosi's and the ancient aliens that live in our Congress, to get more youth in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Katie Porter, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Cori Bush.
Mm-hmm. Cori Bush.
They're awesome. Ilhan
AOC,
Omar, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are the people that are going to make a difference in the overall system. But finally, mm-hmm. like, I just thought about this.
Yeah.
If you're a friend of somebody that could be being abused, and you have a better parent than them, it's not snitching to get advice on these things.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
I agree.
So if you have a parent you can trust, that's so sad. If there's an adult, but then once, like you said, then they're stuck in a process that isn't created for a solution for them.
So,
but you can stop the process. If somebody you think is being abused and you address it, like you said, that abuser will go somewhere else.
Right. So if you're in a situation where you're getting abused and you're afraid to come forward and you don't want to go through that whole process, I understand, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But if you're strong enough to stand up to people who are going to question you and question your experiences, please do it.
Yes.
Do it.
You have my support.
Yep.
You can reach out to me and you'll have my support.
Absolutely. Same. You're always welcome to reach out and connect and have a conversation, and I will stand up for you.
I will
because
too.
I am
and
not
I'll
afraid.
Give you resources. I'll give you resources and let you know clear borders.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because sometimes people wonder.
Yeah.
But if you're ever wondering, stop wondering, because if it makes you uncomfortable, it's not right for you.
Right.
It might be right if you see somebody doing something to somebody else and you're uncomfortable, you just don't want it done to you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they have the same value structure,
mm-hmm.
but inappropriate is inappropriate. And like we said, a child can't consent.
Right.
And I think there might need to be a mid-range between teenager and full-grown adult. There might be an 18 to 26 version of adult adolescent that we should consider treating better.
Yeah.
Devi.
Yeah.
We're breaking our children and making them adults that then break children.
I know. We need to do better.
Yeah, we all need to be better. Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
I can't believe
welcome.
These topics that I just don't want to cover end up being so amazing. I didn't want to cover credit. Like, how do I fix my credit? I was I have no idea. An hour later, I was like, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
So thank you for making this uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah. I'm always willing to talk about the uncomfortable things because somebody has to.
Yeah, spit them out fast, mm-hmm. like the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
If you're having a hard time saying it, say it fast. Yeah. Get it out there. And then it's dealing with the cleanup like everybody else does.
Absolutely.
I love you, Debbie. Thank you.
Love you too, man. You're welcome.
Tell Jeffrey thank you for giving me you for a full hour. Absolutely. Or giving his space.
Absolutely.
He didn't give me you. You gave me you. He gave me the space to allow you in, and I appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
We're done.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time.
To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Twitter.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Smart Radio,
Public,
and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.